It's April the 17th, 2024.
Today? Big day today.
So what are you guys planning for today?
What makes today special? Well, Victoria Beckham, a.k.a. Posh Spice, is 50 years old today, celebrating a birthday. I just love a story where, you know, somebody who grows up in a middle-class family can become super successful.
Oh, yeah.
All on her own one day. This might be one of the greatest clips in television history.
Yeah. I'm very close to my family. Yeah, I mean, I think also we both come from families that work really hard. Both of our parents work really hard. We're very working class.
Be honest.
I am being honest.
What car did your dad drive you to school in?
So my dad did.
No, one answer.
My dad.
What car was it?
All right, it's not a simple answer because.
What car did you get your dad to drive?
It depends.
To school in? No.
Okay, what in car? The '80s, my dad had a Rolls Royce.
Thank you.
He's so right. He's like, people have the internet. You can't. Yeah. They're gonna call you out on it. It's so good that he did get out ahead of it because
your nickname
buying that.
Is not working class Spice.
Yeah.
My dad had a Rolls Royce.
Yeah, she did not want to answer that.
Jennifer Gardner is 52 years old today. She was Elektra in the '90s Daredevil movies. There's a rumor that she may return as Elektra in the new Deadpool Wolverine movie.
That'd be funny.
I don't know how many of these cameos in the new Deadpool movie are true, but it almost sounds like anyone who's ever played a superhero is going to be returning in their costume in this film.
Yeah. Even the bad ones, like Elektra. Not a great movie. Makes it funnier, though, to bring the bad ones back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Daffy Duck, happy birthday to Daffy. 87 years ago, made his debut in Porky's Duck Hunt. Can you do a Daffy Duck impression?
Is that Daffy?
That's Donald.
Daffy.
Daffy
Sucker Tash. That's Daffy, right?
No, that's Sylvester the Cat.
What's Daffy say? Like,
Daffy's got he spits when he talks.
Yeah, no, I can't really do a Daffy, no. I do love Looney Tunes, but that Daffy, I've never tried to do one before.
Come on, Bugs.
There's something's going on.
We're going to have to wipe down the studio after this.
Apologies to, trying to think of the voice actor, Len?
Len? Mel Blanc?
Mel, that's it. I know. I had his first name backwards. Mel, not Len.
Apologies to Lem Blanc. We're not doing you justice here.
Sorry, buddy.
60 years ago in 1964, Ford unveiled its newest model, which was the Mustang. So today's a big day for Mustang lovers. Also, April the 17th is National Banana Day. Did you know the banana is the most purchased item in the produce department?
Most affordable.
Among the most popular items in the supermarket overall. Recent poll, 29% of people say they like to eat bananas when they're at least partially green. 6% prefer bananas to be mostly green. Put them on some sort of watch list. Who likes a green banana? You?
No, I struggle to open the peel.
Yeah, I hate when it breaks up.
And then you got to peel it back.
Off. Perfectly yellow. Majority of people.
Yeah.
Thank you. 50%
I think you want like a
people.
Bit of green right around the bottom.
A couple brown spots is also a popular answer. Bananas do get sweeter as they ripen. I'm going to blow your mind here on National Banana Day. Did you know that bananas are actually a berry? Botanically, they are berries because they grow from a flower with a single ovary. And they also contain seeds.
Okay.
It is a fruit.
Yeah,
all berries are fruits.
Okay.
But a banana is technically a berry.
Interesting. I thought it'd be too big to be a berry. Too long. I thought berries were round, Taz. You did blow my mind.
Jim, we're getting some text messages and a few calls through the morning from concerned listeners and animal lovers wanting to know what happened with Bruce, your dog, who ate some dark chocolate yesterday. You got a text message from your wife and everybody was very concerned about your puppy.
Because he ate the full chocolate bar, and they say dark chocolate much worse than milk chocolate.
Yeah, and chocolate's not good for dogs.
Yeah, yeah. Turns out it's not that bad either because he's fine.
Is he okay?
He's totally fine. Good. Couldn't even tell. Well, he did puke, like later on that day, he did throw up, and there was some tinfoil in it because the chocolate was wrapped in that tinfoil.
Ate the wrapper.
Oh, he got the whole thing in there, but tinfoil came out. Some food came up with it. He appears to be acting normal. I think we're all right.
Didn't have to take him to the vet.
Nah, no.
We got this text message as well from Alora, one of our coworkers. She says, I heard Jim's story about his dog eating a chocolate bar. When my sister was about 12 years old, she was selling chocolate bars for school. One night, my dog broke into her room and got into the stash, ate approximately 48 caramel bars.
Whoa, that would kill me.
The dog ended up being fine, but my parents, on top of the vet bill, had to pay about $200 for all the chocolate that she ate that we couldn't sell for the fundraiser.
But also, she was top fundraiser of the year. Yes, because
exactly.
Of it.
Mom and dad had to pay
the most,
for it,
technically.
But thanks to that dog, top fundraiser. And that was a 5-pound Jack Russell. That's a little dog.
5 pounds?
Eating 48 caramel bars? You'd think that thing would just spontaneously combust.
Yeah, it just explode in chocolate. Yeah, well, it wasn't that bad for sure.
The caramel probably saved its life.
That's it. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not a veterinarian.
That's the secret.
But does caramel counteract the effects of chocolate on a dog?
It's like it's the narcolone.
It's the only thing that makes sense. That's right.
Whatever that stuff's called.
Sarah, stay calm. I know Bruce ate some dark chocolate. Go into the kitchen. There's a jar of caramel in the fridge. Wave it under his nose. He'll be fine. Well, we're glad that Laura's dog was okay in that situation. We're glad that Bruce is doing okay as well.
Mm-hmm.
Keep the chocolate out of reach of the dogs. I have some friends who, they spend time in Arizona. They like to go down there. Went to a Coyotes game last year. Said it was $12 to get in.
Hmm.
They only have 5,000 seats in the arena they're playing at right now, the Mullet Arena. And it wasn't even sold out. $12 to see an NHL game, and they can't even sell 5,000 tickets. So I don't have much sympathy for the people of Arizona losing this team to Salt Lake City.
It's a big media market, like a lot of population, so that's why Bettman wanted it there. But I think it's been proven it's not a hockey state.
Not working. Salt Lake City, what is the team going to be named? We've had some suggestions sent to us, and some of the suggestions we've actually incorporated into possible new logos and jerseys for the Salt Lake City teams. The Salt Lake City Sister Wives.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a catchy name. It's got some good alliteration there for an NHL franchise.
Yeah, yeah. Salt Lake City Sister Wives. That'd be cool. The mascot could be four women.
You know, it's like you have one person in the middle, and then they have like the long bars.
Dude, when they have all the village people,
right?
And it's all three or puppets.
Yeah, it's one guy with like two puppets on each side of them.
Underrated street performer.
That could be the mascot of
but it's all brides.
Salt Lake City Sister Wives. okay, I like that suggestion. And this is one I just threw out when we were discussing this earlier in the week. I said the Salt Lake City Peppers.
Yeah, yeah.
You get the salt, you get the pepper in mm-hmm. there. And the logo, Jim, that you designed for this one is Salt Bay.
Yeah, he's the famous kind of, I don't know, steak house chef who sprinkles salt
down
his elbow. But I just changed the salt to pepper. A lot of people are saying, I like the name Salt Lake City Peppers, but I don't like the logo. So maybe I should have used your original suggestion, which was just a pepper grinder or pepper mill, whatever you call it.
Or you know, you could do like a skull, make it like a skull and crossbones, except instead of crossbones, just two big pepper mills crossed underneath
the
skull.
Gotcha.
Wouldn't that look intimidating?
Mm-hmm, yeah, and the eye holes are shaped like little chili peppers. We'll workshop it a little bit.
And then there's this one, which I expected more of a reaction. This was a listener suggestion that was sent in to us. And when Jim and I read it, we were laughing hysterically. And when I saw the logo you designed, I was laughing even harder. But the reaction online lukewarm, just like the water in this pot. So the suggestion is the Salt Lake City Soakers for the new NHL franchise.
Also, and great alliteration.
The logo is, it's a pot of water with a hot dog floating in it.
Mm-hmm. Soaking, if you will.
Soaking in the water. Now, maybe people just don't know what soaking is and its connection to Salt Lake City.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jim, why don't you explain it to everybody?
Okay, it's a little delicate, but basically, there is a loophole that some super religious people, specifically Mormons in this case, have discovered, and that is the sex before marriage loophole. Yes, yeah. You're not allowed to make love before you're married, but they found a way that, in their minds, making love and going to all the way to home plate is the friction, the act of going in and out. So what they do is they just go in and leave it there while they're laying on bed. And they go, okay, like as long as we just stay perfectly still,
yeah.
or as we call it, go for a soaking.
A man and a woman,
yeah,
will just lie there very close together.
In.
Right.
But not in and out. Zero friction. And it recently
You can't move. You can just leave it in there and let it soak.
Yes, yeah.
That's a soaking.
Let it baste. But then, this has been like an inside joke and kind of people know about it and people have been joking around for years. But recently it went viral because they've expanded the loophole where now you can soak, but a friend can also jump on a mattress on the mattress that you're on. So then you're bouncing up and you're not doing it.
You're not the one making the movements.
No.
You're technically not
our fault.
Breaking any rules.
Yeah.
It's not sex before marriage. You just happen to be lying on the bed having a nice soak.
Yeah.
When a friend came along and started jumping up and down.
What are you doing? Hey, stop that. You're third wheeling. Stop.
The Salt Lake City Soakers. Let's take a look at sports with Devin Peacock, our sports guy. Wow, what a wild night in the NHL. Too little too late for the Detroit Red Wings, but a great overtime win to end their season.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a Detroit Red Wings fan, you had a bit of a taste of the playoffs. It was like the playoffs the past couple of games. It was a wild ride going up and down. They won the games they needed to. Unfortunately for them, they lost too many. They had too many multi-game losing streaks in January, February, and March, and it cost them at the end of the season. They did not have the tiebreaker against the Washington Capitals, so they needed to win, but they also needed Washington to lose. Washington did not lose, so the Capitals are in the playoffs in the final playoff spot.
Washington's got to be the worst team in the playoffs this season.
They are brutal. So if you look at their plus minus in terms of goal differential, it's like minus 40. Like it is, you look at them and that is not a playoff team. What I will say is the Capitals that started the season are not the Capitals that ended the season. They are two very different teams. Alex Ovechkin is a very different player now than when he started the season. He really came on strong in the second half of the season. So Washington, not a good team, but I think they are slightly better than their numbers show based on how bad they were to start the year.
Still, I think Rangers fans will be very excited about that first round matchup.
If I'm a Rangers fan, I'm loving that matchup because the Capitals, again, they're not as bad as their numbers may look, but they're not great. They're a fantastic matchup for New York.
Now, speaking of first round matchups, Jim, Devin, I know you're both big fans of the Toronto Maple Leafs, and I know the old Boston Bruins have been a little thorn in the Leafs' side when it comes to Stanley Cup playoffs.
Oh, have they?
The Panthers win last night, which means the Leafs now are facing the Bruins in the first round instead of the Panthers?
Panthers won, Bruins lost. So the Bruins lost to the Ottawa Senators, and that sets up a matchup of all Florida between Florida and Tampa Bay and Toronto and Boston in the first round of the playoffs.
Pretty good first round, though, to get those two Florida teams playing against each other. That'll be huge down there. And as nervous as you clearly are about Boston playing the Leafs in the first round, it's a storied rivalry, and it'll be fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'll be.
Are you nervous, though, Dev?
I'm not nervous, to be honest. Like,
why is your voice quivering when you say that?
I'm not nervous.
Of Florida or Boston, they're both tough matchups. But I think the Leafs are a different team. I think they're a grittier team than they have been in the past. If you look at the game against the Panthers last night, they lost. They had a terrible second period. The second period was brutal, but they showed a feistiness that I think you need to have in the playoffs that they haven't always had. They've got Tyler Bertuzzi with them. They've got a different vibe to them. So Boston's going to be tough. But I think Toronto is not an easy out if you're looking at it from Boston's side either. It's going to be a really good series.
How do you feel about it, Jim? Would you rather just get the Boston thing over with instead of getting your hopes up and then losing to them in the second round?
I don't really look at Boston as the same powerhouse as they have been the last couple decades, so it's not like a super threatening thing other than the history. I think they're going to make it to the third round. I don't think the Leafs are going to win the Cup, but I do think they'll make it past the second round this year, and I think it's going to be incrementally we'll get there. I'm not going to get ahead of the team.
Let me ask you this. Do you think Austin Matthews, who did not score a goal last night, he's sitting at 69 on the season, is he going to get to 70 with one game remaining?
He's going to get to 70. Neither the Leafs nor the Lightning have anything to play for tonight. They're just waiting for the playoffs. So that sets up Austin Matthews and the Leafs going for 70 tonight. Ka-ka!
We've got to do a eulogy for an old friend. Rest in peace, reclining airplane seats. Apparently, they are being phased out. They are no longer going to be putting reclining seats in coach on airplanes.
Yeah.
The VIPs up in first class, they're going to be reclining or podding.
Yeah, they got rid of that years ago. Now they sleep in a matrix pod.
Full-on beds.
Yeah.
But, you know, the reclining airplane seat has been around my entire life. I've known them since I started flying on airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
And I am going to miss how the seat would go back and it would somehow perfectly stop about half an inch away from being comfortable.
Yeah, that's generous.
You recline and just when you think you're getting into that position... stops.
Yeah. It would recline just far enough to leave you unsatisfied and anger the person behind you somehow simultaneously.
I will miss that anxiety you'd get when you'd sit down after boarding and you'd have to, you know, think, is that person in front of me going to recline the seat and just crunch my knees into my chest when you're sitting behind them? What are you going to miss about the reclining airplane seat, Jim?
I'm going to miss that moment. Oh, man. So many good times. But I'm going to miss that moment when the flight's about to land and the attendant goes, could you please return your chair to the upright position? And I go, it's not already?
This isn't upright.
This is reclining? Okay.
So the reasons airlines are saying that they are getting rid of the reclining seats in, again, this is economy. First class, still going to recline. But they say it sparks a lot of issues with passengers and flight attendants. Spilled drinks. You got the tray out. You have your drink on there. Someone in front of you. Your tray's attached to their chair. They decide to recline suddenly. You're spilling food or drink all over the place. Airline experts are saying this could be a blessing in disguise for people who work on airplanes. That walk past first class now is going to be even more awkward as you make your way back to economy.
Yeah. Oh, they're going to be putting on their sleep mask before you can
right.
make eye contact.
They've got their sleep masks on, completely reclined. They've got champagne IVs hooked up to their arms. Rich people. Dev, you just had a good point off the air. Can you repeat what you said about not comparing the WNBA to the NBA and just thinking of it as its own entity?
So when we look at, you know, sports, we think like the best of the best. In hockey, the NHL is the best. In the NBA, in basketball, the NBA is the best. I don't want to start a fight between Canada and United States, but I think a lot of people would take the NFL over the CFL. But that doesn't mean that the AHL, the OHL, the CFL, you name every single league you want out there is somehow deficient or not worthy. Like, enjoy that sport for what it is. Major League Soccer, for the longest time, still does. They have salary restraints so that they don't grow too fast and tank soccer in North America. They have designated player exemptions so certain players can make more. Everyone else, you know, is in making like $80,000, maybe $120,000, because that is what North American soccer is worth at the moment. So appreciate the sport and the athletes for what they are, for what they can provide for families, role models for boys and girls, and just a good time out. You don't have to compare men and women. Compare it with, you know, decades previous where things were 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
Well, think about what NHL players were making when the league first started out.
I looked it up.
Took a long time to grow that league.
I looked up Gordie Howe's first paycheck. His first salary for one season was $9,000. Obviously, inflation would be probably 10 times that, maybe, but still, it'd be $100,000 for the greatest hockey player of all time.
It all relates to how much leagues and teams make, right? So one of the great things about, we're about to have the NHL playoffs, Toronto Maple Leafs, every home game in the playoffs, they make what, like $5 million, $6 million? Like, the playoffs are worth so much. I might even be lowballing that. Like, the money in professional sports is so great, and that's why the players get paid so much more than the rest of us, because it's all part of that professional sports ecosystem.
So if you want women's basketball players to get paid more, support women's basketball. This I just want to bring this up is not to take away from that great point you just made, Dev. But one of the things people were complaining about is Caitlin Clark is making less than NBA mascots. I had no idea how much a mascot makes. Denver Nuggets Rocky the Mountain Lion is taking home an annual salary of $625,000 a year.
Good for him. Again, it's because Denver makes bank.
So you take
Harry the Hawk of the Atlanta Hawks gets $600,000 a year.
Take $600,000 divided by 82. How much do the Denver Nuggets and Atlanta Hawks make per game? It's a couple million bucks, and the mascots are a big part of it.
Benny the Bull in Chicago is making $400,000 a year.
Legend, one of my faves.
You have parents who want their kids to make the big leagues. I think the most realistic chance my son might have of making a professional sports league is as a mascot. I'm not taking him to hockey or baseball anymore. I'm taking him to mascot school.
Yeah.
Man. He can make $625,000 a year. I'm sending him to school every day in a heavy costume.
Chaz, how's your son doing? Pretty good. He just got a scholarship to Clown College.
Here's the real injustice, because like those guys sweat a lot.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who's getting underpaid. The guy who's washing those mascot uniforms, because yeah, they stink.
We got your pizza pie.
Tim Hortons across the Taz and Jim listening area today. You can get a new Timmy's Pizza. They did a pilot project. We had some listeners message us saying in Windsor they've been selling the Timmy's Pizzas for a while now.
Yeah. Had a few places in Toronto selling them too.
I'd never seen them. It took like a minute and 5 seconds once they threw it in the oven for the pizza to be ready. And okay. Jim, here you go. Here, I want to film this.
You're so really presenting it like you're almost like Richard Gere and Pretty Woman. Am I gonna put my hand in it? You're gonna snap it on me? Like, can you just give me the pizza? Smells good.
It does smell really good.
Okay, here we go. It comes in a box that's like about half the size of a medium pizza box. So cut into fit. So yeah, it's.
How does it look?
It looks like a standard pizza you'd get maybe at like an airport or like a small pizza place.
Now hold on.
Okay.
We're totally going to rip off Dave Portnoy here.
Let me get a pepperoni at the front there.
One bite.
Okay.
Everybody knows the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Jim.
Here we go.
Chomp into that Tim Hortons pizza. Flatbread pizza. First impressions.
Solid. A lot of cheese, which is a good thing. Could have stayed in the oven a little longer. I think the crust should have been a little
crispier.
Crispier. It was a little on the soggier side, but when you get to the outer crust, it's a little crispy. Not bad. I'll give it a 7 out of 10.
Better than you expected?
About where I expected it to be honest. Like, because it can't be as good as like an actual full-blown pizza place.
Yeah. But it's like the coffee at a pizza place isn't going to be as good as the coffee at a coffee place.
Yeah. But in a pinch, sure. I think they probably keep the kids happy as well.
Taz and Jim, text message line.
I'm going to eat this whole thing.
People are asking.
Good enough, I'm going to finish it.
How much does a pizza cost? It's like $7 or $8, depending on what pizza you buy.
Decent price point. Yeah. I'll give it a thumbs up. It's not like a mind-blowing level of pizza, but I think, you know, at lunch, in a pinch, I think it's
what about the thickness of the crust?
It's kind of like a flatbread, like if... It's the thing, again, it's a little too soggy for me. Not soggy is not the right word, but I want my crust a little stiffer.
Okay.
That's a complaint.
Which is something that is solvable, right? They just keep it in the oven a little bit longer. I'm sure you could make that request from the Tim Hortons employees who are going to love stopping everything they're doing, just dropping everything so they can make you a pizza today.
Now, I will say, pretty hard to screw up pizza. So, I mean, I don't know if I've really had a terrible pizza in my life. So this just kind of fits that pattern, too. It's pretty good.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.